If good men do nothing, that is evil enough. And FYI, that's pretty close to a Bible verse. Fun fact. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, we are headed back to the arcade, this time with our eyes firmly fixed on October. Yes, today is my review of 1994's Street Fighter, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. Throughout this year, we've been going to the arcade, first with the anticipation of Mortal Kombat 2, and now is the turn. The turn towards the second big fighting game movie of the year with the reboot of Street Fighter. So let's go back 32 years. I'm slightly older than this movie. I was born in early 94, while Street Fighter came out in late 1994. We're headed all the way back to a movie that did really well for itself, which is incredibly refreshing. This is something that has come up time and time again here as we've been going to the arcade, that video game movies, a lot of times, even though they may have a strong fan base, particularly with these earlier video game film adaptions, when we're still trying, Hollywood's still trying to kind of figure out who's the market, who's the fan base, things like that. It was kind of this like 50-50 as to if this movie was going to make any money or not. That is not the case with Street Fighter from 1994. This movie is one of the rare exceptions where this was a big blockbuster financial success.
Fight.
Street Fighter grossed in all $99.4 million in the box office off of a $35 million budget. This movie was a financial success, which makes this next part all the more surprising, because Street Fighter is in this rare category of being a financially successful cult classic film. Usually when we think of cult classics, these are movies that either bombed at the box office or had incredibly small runs, and so very few people actually know about it, but it develops a pretty strong fan base. But the box office bomb that later becomes this like pop culture sensation is the normal route that cult classic films go. Financially successful cult classics are pretty rare. The only other one that really comes to mind offhand is The Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead film, but that's in a completely different category in of itself anyway, because that one was a financial success due in part to the fact that the budget was $15. I mean, okay, it wasn't that small, but it was a very small budget, and it got a cult following because it had such a limited theatrical release. It was a well-received movie. It did financially well for itself, and it became one of the biggest horror franchises of the modern era, and rightfully so. I love Sam Raimi. The difference here with Street Fighter is that though it was a financial success at the box office, and it actually did really well in home media sales and also television viewing as well, this movie was not received very well at all. That part's not surprising. You knew this was coming. This movie has an 11% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't care. And you're rejoicing that I don't care, because I know I've spent a lot of time talking about Rotten Tomatoes as of recent. No, instead of focusing so much on the Rotten Tomatoes score, because big spoiler, I don't care, and I highly disagree with it. The big thing about Street Fighter is the 94 Street Fighter film is that not only was it not well received by critics, it was also not well received by fans as well. Street Fighter and Tekken, the Tekken movie, are two sides to the same coin. Street Fighter and Tekken both feature some pretty substantial creative changes. was Tekken. It was removing all of the magic and mysticism away from the storyline. And for Street Fighter, that and some just foundational changes to the characters. The difference here being is that along with some of their other creative choices, Street Fighter ended up being made into a movie that would become a cult classic. Like it was set up to be a cult classic, not intentionally, but it has all of the quirks and campiness that any other great cult classic film typically has. Tekken, on the other hand, is, as I've said before, white noise. It is just there. It is the most meh movie I may have ever seen in my entire life. So rather than spending all day talking about Rotten Tomatoes, let's look and see how different Street Fighter is from the Street Fighter video game franchise. One shocking thing right off the bat about how different the Street Fighter movie is from the games is the fact that the main financier of the film was Capcom. Capcom was heavily involved, from scripts to casting decisions. Heck, when you turn the movie on during like the opening credit scroll, I will not be editing that out. That's a free one for everybody. During the opening credit scroll, it pops up on screen based on the Capcom game Street Fighter 2. Capcom was using this as an advertising. This is an hour and a half long advertisement to get people not to just go check out the games, but very specifically, you now knew exactly what game to go out and get and play. And when you fired it up, you were going to immediately realize, oh, there are so many differences here between the movie and the game. But it also made me realize I don't even know how many game movies deep I am at this point. I'll have to go back and count. I don't remember seeing that on any of the other movies so far. I don't remember seeing based off of the Team Ninja game, Dead or Alive, Extreme Beach Volleyball. Like I don't remember seeing that anywhere. There may have been some kind of like based on, you know, Konami characters or whatever. Like there may have been a something at some point in the other movies, but this is the only one so far that was like very clearly like, this is who we are, this is the game to go get. So yes, this movie is actually much like the recently reviewed Resident Evil Damnation, where Capcom was very hands-on with the process, as opposed to DOA Dead or Alive or Double Dragon, which had came out earlier that year in 94, where the contract is signed, the developers get paid, and then they show up for the red carpet when the movie is ready. Like, no, Capcom was involved in this process, and they signed off on the changes in the script, which is very different from the Capcom being involved with Resident Evil Damnation, where the purpose was to have them involved so that way the characters were adequately reflected and could fit in with the game franchise. So rather than following the path of Resident Evil Damnation, Capcom apparently adopted a protocol for how to sign off on scripts that they would continue to do all the way to 2002 with another Resident Evil game movie. Now, in its connection to Street Fighter 2, the Street Fighter movie is about how M. Bison and his company Shadaloo, which is a great name, by the way, has moved into a part of Thailand and is taking it over. Essentially, all of the similarities stop there. There's like one other thing that comes up later with Chun-Li, but beyond that, yeah, there's that. That's it. There are no more similarities. There are no tournaments. There is nothing. But you do have the very extremely basic connecting point of M. Bison and Shadaloo have taken over part of Thailand. The biggest change, of course, is the main protagonist. It's not Ryu, and thankfully they didn't randomly make up somebody like Mortal Kombat 2021. No, it's Guile, played by the great Jean-Claude Van Damme, which was Capcom's decision. Capcom, from the get-go, that was the guy that they wanted to play Guile. And it cost a lot of the budget in order to bring in Van Damme. 94 was an interesting year for Van Damme because the other movie he did that year was Time Cop, which is based off of a Dark Horse comic book series. So Van Damme was kind of starting the downward trend a little bit in his career, but was also like taking on roles that I guess he thought maybe the kids would know who he is then if he was in the video game and comic book movie. Because when you think comic book movies from 94, you definitely think Time Cop and not, you know, The Mask. Casting Van Damme as Guile was a different choice than what director Steven E. D'Souza wanted to go with. Eventually, Capcom won out, but D'Souza had a different choice in mind for Guile. Now, director D'Souza, real quick, didn't direct a lot of movies. He did write a few movies. Let's see if you are familiar with some of the movies he wrote. Commando, The Running Man, the first two Die Hard movies, Judge Dredd, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, The Flintstones. So I don't know if you've ever heard of any of those movies, but that was some of his previous working credits and some of the films he would go on to do after Street Fighter. But D'Souza had a completely different person in mind, and a contemporary to JCVD, Steven Seagal. Yeah, can you imagine, can we please get to the multiverse where, can we get to the parallel universe where Street Fighter is starring Steven Seagal? Oh my God, this movie would have been even more ridiculous. Because fun fact, 94 was also a bad year for Steven Seagal. Van Damme and Seagal are contemporaries, and oddly enough, both of their careers really took a turning point in 94. Up until 1994, Steven Seagal was bulletproof. Like, he had already done the big five. For those of you who don't know, Steven Seagal's best movies are his first five films. But when he decided to direct 1994's On Deadly Ground, and as opposed to Van Damme, who has had some peaks in over the past few years during his comeback, Seagal's never recovered. Outside of being the bad guy in Machete, like, he's never recovered. Since 32 years later, Steven Seagal still is waiting on that comeback. Now, as weird as it would have been to see Steven Seagal in this movie, I really do like Van Damme in this role, because I feel like he is really putting himself forward. Van Damme wants to be an actor. Like, he's a martial artist. He's a great martial artist. But there's, like, some of his performances is like, this is a goofy video game movie. Why are you going so hard? He's not the only actor who's going really hard in this movie. We'll get to M. Bison here in a moment. But it's just like his facial expression, his timing with his jokes, like, he's really going for it. And there was no chance that Street Fighter was going to win any awards. But, like, it's just, I think Van Damme, you know, due in part to his own choices and his own behavior, abusing substances and whatnot, but also just like oftentimes being remembered as just the guy who does the split. Like, I think we kind of miss that, like, he's one of the better actors in the martial art media category. Now, I think this movie is trying to be an ensemble cast, but I mean, Van Damme is front and center on the poster. He's the biggest name draw, basically, in this film. And so what's Ryu and Ken Masters left to do? Well, what they're, of course, known for, being con men. And if you've never played Street Fighter, allow me to explain that that was a heavy dose of sarcasm. Yeah, Ryu, the actual protagonist of the Street Fighter franchise, is a B character and is kind of this like con man along with Ken Masters. I'm going to sound super nitpicky because it's already bad enough that like they've been reduced to like side characters. But also, it isn't until Guile sends them in to be spies among M. Bison's crew that almost all the way to the final act is when they're both finally wearing their iconic white and red gis, and it's because they're joining M. Bison's army. That's not how that works at all. And also, look, it's super nitpicky, but also super simple to fix. Why is Ryu not wearing red gloves? Again, super nitpicky, does not matter, but it matters to me. Where's the red gloves? They do strip the Hadou away from this film. That was a choice to make the movie more of like an action war film. It was cited that their inspiration for this movie was war movies, James Bond films, and Star Wars. I get the war movie part. I don't know where the other two is falling into this, honestly. But there is no Hadou, even though during a fight with Vega near the final like 20 minutes of the movie, Ryu does pull back and hit him with two open palm strikes to the chest like he would be doing the Hadouken. And Ken Masters also does his like super big uppercut on, I think he's fighting Sagat in that scene as well. Another one who gets totally nerfed in this movie is Dhalsim. So Dr. Dhalsim is a scientist who has been captured by M. Bison to develop a super soldier serum that part of the process of creating super soldiers is also subjecting them to the kind of quote therapy that Malcolm McDonald experienced in A Clockwork Orange, although this time it's not to reform them but to make them like super aggressive soldiers. Just accept it, schlocky sci-fi. Okay, that's the least of your concerns. Eventually Dr. Dhalsim at the end of the movie is able to escape, and basically he's the one who says this line I opened the show with and is going to go atone for his ways, but kind of implying he's gonna go become a monk. That's not who the character is at all in the actual game. This is like a origin story for Dhalsim, apparently, because in Street Fighter 2, he's already a monk. He's a pacifist who chosen to compete at the World Warrior Tournament, put aside his pacifist ways to win the tournament money to then give back to his village that is very poor. It's kind of like Nacho Libre in a way, but with super stretchy abilities. That's also not anywhere present in this movie. Apparently, they stripped away all of the like supernatural superpower elements from this movie, but we're going to pick it up in the what was eventually canceled sequel. Now, if you haven't seen this movie, you might be thinking to yourself, why even bother? So much is different in this movie. Why even bother checking this out? Well, like I said, it does end up being quite the campy film. The movie is just a bunch of goofy one-liners, which might be why they considered Steven Seagal there for a while, because the guy did know how to deliver an excessively dry, campy one-liner. But not only is it just like a little bit goofy, a little bit silly, I mean, you got E. Honda and Zangief brawling around, and there's like Godzilla sound effects going off in the background. Like, it's a little bit goofy, it's a little bit zany, there's one-liners, but if anything, if you're like very much on the fence about watching this movie because it may not be the best representation of Street Fighter, you have not lived until you have seen Raul Julia's performance as M. Bison. For all the millennials in the chat, you may know Raul Julia for playing Gomez Adams in The Addams Family and The Addams Family Values. But he was so much more than Gomez Adams or M. Bison. Raul Julia was a Puerto Rican actor, professionally trained actor, who had been in Broadway, film, and television for like 20, 30 something years by that point. And being a professionally trained actor, rather than playing some mustache twirling villain or some big business kind of individual who's like, you know, hoity toity, instead of like playing that, those kinds of villains, Julia goes into full Shakespearean performance with M. Bison, which just feels so right. You have this like drug lord general set on global domination and in the games, so obsessed with taking Ryu's power away from him. And so let's just make him Shakespearean. And it does kind of add to the camp because nobody else is playing their characters that way. Again, Van Damme puts on a pretty good performance here. It is Van Damme acting first, martial arts second. There's actually like not that many fight scenes, which should be a knock against the movie, technically. Tekken actually had more fights in it than this movie did. But it's just an amazing performance that Raul Julia puts on. It's just, he's kind of Magneto, but like even more, with even more bravado. Like, you don't see him like fight anybody until the very end against Guile, but you don't need to. He's just, this performance that he puts on just makes Bison just like this bigger, larger than life, like individual. It's so amazing. And what's even more amazing and also very sad is the fact that he's putting on this amazing performance while dying of cancer. He actually did not see the premiere of the movie. He died of a stroke 2 months before the premiere. The movie is dedicated to his honor, and they actually edited out a scene for the theatrical release. Get this, a movie in 1994 had an end credit scene where it is implied that M. Bison survived and he's going to come back for more global domination in the canceled sequel. They cut that scene from the theatrical release. They thought that that would be a bit distasteful given how recent Raul Julia had just passed away. In the home video releases and also on streaming, they added that scene back in. Street Fighter from 1994 is arguably the campiest and most fun movie I have watched so far for this series. Like, it is, I just had a grin on my face knowing how different this movie is and how it's technically not a good representation of the video game franchise, but I still just like, it is so much fun. It is so enjoyable. Would I watch Street Fighter again? Yeah. And I should own a copy of this. I really should. Especially seeing how, at the recording of this episode, this movie is not easily accessible on streaming. If you want to go check this out as of right now, it is only available buy or rent digitally. I rented it off of YouTube. We'll have to see. This movie is actually a Universal film, so we'll have to see come October if it just happens to show up on Peacock. By October, Peacock has got a lot to focus on when it comes to the whole horror season and monsters and all of that, but it will be interesting to see if this movie pops up over on Peacock come October. What's interesting also, just kind of knowing with the trajectory that we're on, so this movie took a lot of creative liberties and went silly and lighthearted. Up next, we have Legend of Chun-Li, which I am just a fresh reminder, not excited to have to watch. And that, because I've seen it before and it was not great, that movie takes a lot of creative changes and goes dark, and it was received even more poorly by everybody. What we are seeing so far in trailers for the upcoming reboot is definitely back to the tone of the original film, with a little bit campier, maybe a little bit sillier, but maybe finally they've learned their lesson and it's going to be a faithful adaptation. Let's hope, for the sake of all the Street Fighter fans. I've heard that all of the animated stuff that has come out over the past 30 years is really more so where it's at. And I did review Street Fighter Alpha Generations last year, and that was good. I did like that short film. And so we are on our way to Street Fighter 2026. I'm excited for it, and I hope you are too. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend and check out the other shows here on the Anazao Podcast Network, like Page and Pixel or Systematic Geekology, or I don't know, maybe Friday Night Frights, or, you know, I have another show, My Seminary Life. Check me out over there. You can also follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you can get a review of the film before the episode comes out. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. That's it for me. I will see you all in September. Holy crap, August flew by and we are already off to September, where I'm going to put off as long as I can having to watch Legend of Chun-Li, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. It's also kind of weird. I'm coming in with like a little bit extra time. Should I tease some things? So I did do a tease on Instagram that I am really happy with the film lineup I have for September. I think it's all over the place. There's B films, iconic 80s films, iconic millennial films. It's all over the place. It's going to be so much fun, and it almost makes up for having to watch Legend of Chun-Li. This is really nice, having like two or three just like extra minutes to just kind of like shoot the stuff with y'all. Like, it's kind of weird. Now I'm just kind of like rambling. Okay, I should just end it. I don't know if I have really much else to say. I am planning on doing a B film up next. We're stepping back from the arcade for a second for a B film. Something with a Mr. Charles Bronson in it for all you Bronson fans out there. Yeah, we're going more martial art adjacent with this next one. But thanks for listening. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.